From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report coming to you from the Farm Progress Show on the second day of September 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett at AgMarket.net. Greg Webb, Vice President at ADM, will join us. He's an award recipient from the College of ACES and now considered a friend of the college. We'll learn more about that. And then as we close out our time together, we'll talk about the weather forecast too. That with Mike Tenura from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. All on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The December corn today in Chicago finished at $5.25 and a half. It was up 2.75. March at 5.34, 2.25 higher. And the May contract at 5.39 and a quarter, up 2 cents for the day. November soybeans, 5.5 higher, 12.83 and a quarter. January, $12.91 and a half, 4.5 higher. And the March contract at 12.97 and a half. Up 3.25 cents. Bean meal futures at $3.37.20, down $3.60 for the day. The bean oil at $58.87, 76 cents lower. Wheat futures soft red, $7.17, up 2.75, and the hard red at $7.01.25, 6 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $126 and a nickel, $1.52.5 lower. Feeders, $165 and a nickel, down $3, that's the limit. And lean hogs at $89.85, off 30 cents for the day. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net now joins us to talk about what's been happening in Chicago for the week. Thanks, Matt. Glad to have you out here at the Farm Progress Show. You've been working the Case IH tent all week, seeing a whole lot of farmers. I bet that's been fun, and I bet you've got some interesting questions.
I've got a lot of good questions. You know, the cool thing is Case IH says, we want you to come in here and talk an hour all 3 days. And I said, do you really think that we will get people, you know, to come in and sit down and stay? And the interesting thing is that all 3 days, we had a comedian who kind of got everyone riled up and tried to get them to come sit down. We started out with 5 or 10 people sitting down at the start. But what I noticed is as we talked, the seats filled up, first of all. And second of all, we had a heck of a lot of people around that were listening. Now, they were the non-committal ones because they didn't want to get drawn into something. But we had a really good crowd. Case IH was thrilled about it. But the nice thing is at Farm Progress Show, you know, you get more than just one particular area. I had a lot of good questions on a variety of things. We went into livestock, wheat, you name it. But, of course, we had a lot of questions on what do I do whenever I'm hauling across the scale on the stuff that I haven't sold yet. And that is the big number one question right now that's plaguing producers.
I suspect that when you had that question from different parts of the country that you might have some different answers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, those guys that we're working with that are looking, and let's just keep it simple, below APH yields and above APH yields. I'll tell you what, if you're an above APH yield folk, producer, call it what you want, I'll tell you what, I could never, ever fault you for selling everything off the scale if you want to, across the scale, if you're an above APH producer, because you would be locking in the best income maybe of your entire career, potentially. And so it's pretty hard to throw cold water on that. But if you're below APH producer, you know, I guess for me, it's a little bit of a different story. Obviously, there's some, you got to know what the insurance situation is for those producers, first of all. But second of all, if they do have bins, my team and I, we see some potential on out past harvest. When I look at carryouts where they are, I think they're going to grow here in September. I really do. But at the same time, the USDA pulled some demand out in August whenever they pulled production out. And so we do have some demand that could come back into this thing. And I think that you could keep your carryouts from getting too overwhelmingly burdensome because we're still in a tight situation, whether we're talking U.S. or world.
What are you hearing about the Gulf situation, when it might be back in play? Because it looks like it's going to be down for a pretty extended time.
Yeah, I mean, the initial observations were 2 to 6 weeks, and I think that for some people, they can utilize facilities that didn't get damaged as much, maybe that they don't prefer to use, but could still keep them going. Now, obviously, the logistical issues there, I would compare it, you know, to maybe what's going on in Argentina, where you can't load a vessel all the way, and you got to get it out to port and top it off. What's that do for any of us, for any of them? It just makes it more expensive to put out there on the world market. So are we going to be as competitive over the next 2 months as what we've been? Maybe not. But as far as corn's concerned, world buyers have been very lackadaisical, very, I guess, reserved in their purchase program. I think that they're going to come to the table somewhere in here. And if we do get, for instance, a sign of an intermediate term low, maybe with the September report, I think that they're going to be coming in and buying in a big way.
Speaking of that September report, USDA says, hey, the numbers came in so quickly this year that we're going to move what normally would be an acreage update in October to the month of September. I don't know that means anything other than the numbers came in more quickly. Do you have a different assessment?
Well, I think you're going to pick up some acres on corn. You know, with the prices where they were at, I thought that the June report was maybe a bit low. And like I've told you before, I don't want those guys' job. I mean, that's a thankless job that they're doing. But bottom line is this. Whenever you've got prices where they're at, you've got to think that the producer is going to find a way to plant. We know that North and South Dakota came to the table with a ton of acres. And so bottom line is we probably picked up more acres. Now, how much do I think we picked up? Probably at most, maybe one and three quarter million acres. I don't think we've quite picked up 2 million acres on corn, but I think we've picked up a fair amount of acres, and you're probably going to see an uptick in yield. But again, with that being said, let's say you throw 300 or 400 million acres of actual production above what we saw a month ago. I think you could bump up exports a couple hundred million easily. I don't think that happens this month. USDA may not even touch exports, but I think eventually you're going to see that those exports are going to have to get adjusted, especially whenever the Safrinha crop performed the way that it did this year.
I take it, because of what we've already talked about, what you have said, that you believe that low will come earlier in the month, possibly very soon after or maybe just before the September report, and then we'll creep higher. So that's why you're saying sell it across the scale if you can still.
Well, you know, I think that as far as the low is concerned, if we didn't have that pesky September report to deal with next week, I would think the low's in now. But the September report could change everything. There's no question. If you throw, you know, you could throw half a billion bushels of production at this thing potentially. And if you do, there's no doubt it's going to change things from the production side, from the demand spectrum. I think we all know that there's wiggle room there and that they could actually take demand up a fair amount. They usually don't do that all at once. And so for a producer, what I'm saying is this. If you know you can print money, make good income selling across the scale, I can never fault you for that. Now, there's so many good tools that you could use if you want to stay in the market, you know, that maybe are even cheaper than storage, you know, as far as commercial storage is concerned. But bottom line for me, I want to get in there, keep ownership of a decent amount of corn, but do so in a limited risk standpoint, because we don't know what the next black swan event is. So, Todd, you and I both know if you and your family sold all your corn today with the production you're looking at today, it'd be one of the best, if not best, incomes you've ever seen. Okay, so if that's the case, then it's pretty hard to argue against a guy making those sales. At the same time, do we all want more? Yeah, we probably want a little more, and that's just our nature. And so do I think there's potential there? I think there is. I just don't want to bet the farm on it.
Soybeans easier to market for you?
Well, for soybeans, we're fairly aggressive there as well. I mean, we're about two-thirds sold on both corn and beans. I think whenever it comes to beans, I think August has been very good to us. I think the bean crop's growing, not only in your field, my field, but overall in the nation. You know, I think you're going to see a 51.5, 52 bushel yield eventually, maybe more. But I think in September, I think it's above 51 anyway. And so that's obviously going to be a little bit of a headwind. So for me personally, I want to go ahead and just get the beans sold. Whenever you're looking at, you know, take away what we've seen over the last few months. And if I could have told you a year ago that you could sell your 21 crop, which is bigger than your 20 crop, you know, for $12.50 a bushel, you just said, sell them all. Get them on the books, you know. But all of a sudden, we all think that we want to be these big bulls in the market because we saw $14, $15 beans this year. Let's keep this thing in perspective.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from the Farm Progress Show. Well, here at the 2021 Farm Progress Show, the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences made a Friend of Aces Award to a vice president at ADM, Archer Daniels Midland. Thank you, Greg Webb, for doing so very much for the College of Aces and the University of Illinois, not only in the last year, but over all sorts of decades. I'd like to talk about your involvement with the university, because you and ADM have been supporters of the university for decades, and it goes back a very long, long ways. I'm thinking, for me, and it goes further back than this, IBRL, Vijay Singh, the person who does so much work on campus with the development of ways to produce and process biofuels of all types. And ADM, of course, was involved in that. Can you tell me a little bit about the relationship between the two entities?
Yeah, thank you, Todd, for that question. We have had a very symbiotic relationship, I think, with the University of Illinois on a lot of fronts, and you just named one that's of a high importance. Dr. Singh has helped bring to life, I think from an objective third-party review, things that are important for folks to know and help not only the industry, but also help champions see what the art of the possible is. So mentioning the Integrated Bioprocessing Research Laboratory is an example of that. I was just talking with Chancellor Jones yesterday and Dean Kidwell that IBRL, I think, has all of their space booked up through 2022. And so it just speaks to folks about the innovation that is occurring in our industry, whether it be in the biofuels area or whether it be in other sustainable materials or sustainable renewable chemicals. There's just a lot going on, and that, of course, is one of the epicenters of ADM's interest in what the going forward looks like. Agriculture has always been a solution for people, but most folks have thought about us in a way of food, or feed for livestock, or it may be even fiber from cotton that we produce or other materials, crops that are grown for that purpose. But now that we think about more things that agriculture could be a solution for in terms of more of our everyday use of things, whether it be the clothes we wear, whether it be the toothpaste we use, or whether it be the plastic that we use that could be recycled. There's just a whole lot of things that agriculture can and will be a solution for.
For those who don't know, IBRL is able to test at full size, in some respects, the ways that processes are put in place for biofuels and other things they create and help to put together the mechanics and the enzymes both. They do the whole process, and so that's been very helpful. One of the things that has happened in the last year is the SHIELD project on campus from the University of Illinois, which is what we as faculty and staff members at campus use to protect us, the students as well. Each and every week we're all tested with a saliva test that tells us where COVID is or who has it, how it might be moving through the population, and ADM, again, involved in the SHIELD process.
Yeah, back last August, when we had learned that experts and real intelligent people at the University of Illinois were working on a saliva-based test to help give greater certainty for where the virus existed, then our chief science officer, Todd Werpy, said, you need to get involved with this, Webb, because this is going to be something that we're going to be interested in. So working with Dr. Ron Watkins, who became the managing director, I guess, of this entrepreneurial enterprise that sprang up known as SHIELD Illinois, we worked very hard with them to try to get some laboratories set up. We set up one here in Decatur at St. Mary's Hospital. And through this very easily administered, scalable, and PCR-based test, which the accuracy then was exceedingly good, we began testing our ADM employees the 1st of December and gained a lot more certainty about what our population health was, because the beauty of this test was it picked up pre-symptomatic as well as asymptomatic people, which was one of the things that we needed to learn, because once people started demonstrating symptoms, that was too late. And so the beauty of the SHIELD Illinois test was its ease of administration, and we have used it a lot since.
Indeed, and in places like this, while I'm vaccinated, I'll go back to campus, do a saliva test as just to check, and I'll find out sometime between 3 and 18 hours later how I've tested. And it's just really helpful to be able to do that and keep everybody safe through the process. One last thing that you were intimately involved in was the development of the grain mill that has now been erected on South Campus near the beef farm, poultry farm as well. And that will really play a key role in developing research and nutrition for animals for a long time in the future. Thank you for doing all that you've done to help to fund that and to move that forward as well.
Well, that's, you know, all of us have a vested interest, I think, in what land-grant universities especially are doing in various research types of things. And Kim Kidwell had identified a replacement of the feed mill as a top priority for the College of Aces. So because of her determination, we were able to be one of those funding partners, because we have a very big business in ADM on animal nutrition ourselves. So this is also selfish in some respects, Todd, but we were proud to be a contributor to that and lead to the discoveries that you expect land-grant universities to make. And so I know there's a lot of collaborators there. We're happy to work with the University of Illinois in this. And even more recently, I just might bring to the audience's attention for a moment, we're going to have a feed mill plant or a feed manufacturing opportunity here in the community of Decatur known as Enova Feed, which will use the larvae of soldier flies to provide protein for animals. So the discoveries that we think we know about how to feed our animals, whether they are large animals or even our pets, keep evolving like much of agriculture is.
And finally, can you talk just a little bit about the relationship, and you did this yesterday as you were accepting the Friends of Aces Award, between ADM and the agricultural community and the community at large in Decatur?
Yeah, it's a great relationship that we have in that manner, because in higher education, of course, we've got the discoveries, the research, the training that's happening. Some of that training are young people that we'd like to hire for our company, because we know that Illinois is a renowned college for its agricultural training. We try to work also, because Decatur and Champaign aren't very far apart, if we've got somebody who's hired by the university to work there, we try to work to see if we could find the spouse perhaps a job with ADM, and vice versa. So we have so many touch points with the university. And as I said yesterday, I'm blessed to work for a world-class company, and we are very blessed to have a world-class university within our pretty immediate grasp, and love that we have these many, many opportunities to work together.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you spending a little time with me here at the Farm Progress Show.
Thanks so much for your time.
Greg Webb is a vice president at ADM and now a Friend of Aces Award recipient. He joined us here on the Farm Progress Show site. Mike Tenora now joins us from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thank you for being with us. The weather here has really been pretty darn nice on the Farm Progress Show as we close out this final day. I'm wondering what it looks like as we go forward and get closer to harvest.
Well, over the next few days, it'll be fantastic across the eastern half of the Corn Belt. We might see some showers and storms on Friday into Saturday, but we're not looking at heavy rainfall in most areas. The one area that will see heavy rain is across the western Corn Belt over the next 24 hours. We're seeing a big slug of rain move across Nebraska, the Dakotas, and even into Iowa and Minnesota. And that will progress eastward over the next 24 to 36 hours. But as it crosses the Mississippi River, it will more than likely fade away and not be much of an event. So there's just not a whole lot of things going on at the moment, because once we move beyond this weekend, next week looks pretty dry, and it does look pretty warm, especially in the western growing areas. So a pretty nice dry off next week in areas that need it. But of course, some of the soybean producers who might like one more rain probably won't get it beyond what we see over the next 3 days. So it just turns a little bit quieter once we get into next week.
Do you expect that to be the case all the way through the month of September?
Well, that's always difficult to know, but we can see the temperatures are going to fluctuate within a pretty wide range starting later next week. That's because we'll have high pressure off to the west, and we'll have a cool area of surface-level high pressure off to the east. So with an upper-level high to the west and a surface-level high to the east, that leaves a pretty sharp temperature gradient across the Corn Belt. And because of that, we'll start to see temperatures gyrate a little bit more as we move toward the middle of the month. Typically, when you start to see temperature fluctuations like that, you end up getting rain because, as you know, it's hard to have temperatures change without creating some rain or thunderstorms. So we do think that we'll start to see some more rain once we get about 10 to 14 days into the future. But as far as a big heavy rain event, we don't see one of those on the immediate horizon.
Turn your attention to the southern hemisphere. Of course, a wheat crop will need to be harvested there. They're in the middle of coming out of the winter months. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're exactly right for both Argentina and Brazil, which are major wheat producers. And they're both kind of dealing with a similar situation. In Argentina, it's a little bit worse than what's happening in Australia. And that's because they've had a very dry winter. And it's been very dry until just the last 36 hours. And we're starting to see some pretty good rains on the wheat crop. So we think there will be some stabilization of that crop and even improvements going forward because this was not a one-and-done event. There are a number of cool fronts that will move across Argentina going forward. And that's going to ease the dryness story as we move into the middle of September. Now, we are going to be planting sunflowers over the next several weeks and even through October. But corn planting doesn't start for about 4 to 6 weeks. And at this point, as long as we continue to get September rains, then we won't have much of a story to think about come next month, at least at the start of corn planting season. In Australia, they've had great winter rains. It's been raining all throughout May, June, and July. But then once we got into August, things changed and it hasn't rained very much at all. So a lot of the wheat crop in Australia needs rain. And especially in Western Australia, which is where a lot of their crop is exported from. Now, we don't think there's going to be very much rain in the Western Australia region going forward. That's primarily because we have a number of areas of high pressure that are going to linger, and that'll leave much of the next 10 to 14 days pretty dry, and they will need a rain later on this month, or else that will become a story. In the eastern areas, they haven't seen too much rain in the month of August either. But the difference is that a pretty strong system is going to move through tomorrow and Saturday that will kick off some rain and even some thunderstorms in the key wheat growing regions of the east, which is where about 60% of their crop is produced. So it'll be kind of a mixed story in Australia and an improving story in Argentina. And all in all, we still have time before we need to think a lot more about it, but there certainly are some pieces in place that make us need to monitor it.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the update.
Yeah, have a great time there and have a safe trip home.
Well, I will, and we'll talk with you again next week. That's Mike Tenere. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. He joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It did come to you from the Farm Progress Show here in Decatur and is a production of Illinois Public Media.